Welcome back to The Download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Coffin. Well, just recently, we had my next guest in here to talk about the Joffrey Bellies reimagining of the Nutcracker. It was big news, the production team that was assembled, but we were tight on time, so we didn't really talk about anything else but the Nutcracker. We didn't get to the bigger picture of ballet here in Chicago. So Joffrey artistic director Ashley Weider has returned. Weider has been at the helm of the ballet company since 2007. He was a dancer with the company years before, and he's been part of some of the biggest ballet in the world. His presence in town hasn't gone unnoticed. The Chicago Tribune named him Chicagoan of the Year back in 2013. And just last year, Weider was given the University of Chicago Rosenberger Medal for outstanding achievement in the creative and performing arts. Right now, Cinderella's on stage at the Joffrey through the 22nd of May. And it's my pleasure to welcome back to the show Ashley Weider. Ashley, thanks for coming back.
Great to be here, Justin.
So, yeah, I mean, this Cinderella just opened. How was it? What's the feel? What goes through you as an artistic director? Is it just all anxiety?
No, there's pleasure in there. But I would say that it's a huge production. It's a lot of dancers. It's a lot of what we call supernumeraries. There are a lot of children in it. And it is a massive production. It has many, many scenic changes. And they happen pretty quickly. And they're complicated. And so, you know, last night I thought the company danced brilliantly. First of all, it's a beautiful production. Choreographed by Sir Frederick Ashton. Mm-hmm. Scenery and costumes by David Walker. And I think that the production still holds its magic. And I have to say that Christine Binder, who did the lighting for Cinderella, did a phenomenal job.
You know, you don't think necessarily of Cinderella, the age-old story, as being a ballet. Talk about why you brought Cinderella to the stage at Joffrey.
I think that it truly is one of Sir Frederick Ashton's greatest full-length ballets. It was the first full-length ballet he created for the London Sadler's Wells Royal Ballet back in 1948. So it was right after the war. Mm-hmm. I think that he had fallen in love with Prokofiev's score, which was written in 45, I believe. And I think that what he did is he gave us a story about a young girl who has the ability to dream and find her prince in amongst this mayhem with her ugly sisters. And Ashton has this comedy and this deep kind of pathos about finding love and fulfilling our dreams. And I think that with the score, it's a beautiful journey of mm-hmm. a story, and we get to the ending, and I think it just it breaks your heart in a really good way.
When you are working with such a classic, what do you have to do as an artistic director, as a choreographer, as a dancer, to make sure it's fresh, that you're not just doing exactly what was done back in the 40s?
Right. I think, you know, the way dancers dance today is very different. But I think the one thing...
How so?
Because we're more athletic and we've kind of stretched ourselves and how we execute things has changed, where it's much cleaner, I think, in a lot of ways now.
Okay.
But I think that there are things that we learn from looking at our great, great dancers of the past in terms of what was their charisma on the stage or what did they bring to the story. And for the company today, the thing about Sir Frederick Ashton, as with many great choreographers, George Balanchine also, is that they have a style, and understanding that style and trying to put that style in your body so what comes out is something incredibly organic takes a lot of hours of rehearsal. My eye is like digging.
What, I mean, as the artistic director, what's your role in watching on an opening night when a show opens? I mean, obviously the choreographer and directors and others have big roles, but as the artistic director, what's your role when it comes to, I guess, notes?
Well, you know, I spent a lot of hours in the studio with the company. So that has been a really great process. And then we get to putting the scenery on the stage and doing all the lighting and looking at what works, because there are many scene changes and the timing of them is really important. So we get to the opening night and it's, you know, weeks and weeks of rehearsal mm-hmm. and we're kind of running on empty. But of course it's the moment, because we're without an audience, we're nothing. You know, we're just a good company locked away in a studio. And so it's what do we bring to our audience and how do we give them the magic? So for me, I want them to enjoy it. My eye is looking for everything that isn't going right. And I have a list of notes at the end of the performance. And then we talk about it and we try to keep refining where there are issues. That could be mainly technical, mm-hmm. But also for the dancers, you know, if there are some mistakes, It's a live art form. You know, things right. go wrong.
Are you the kind of audience member in that moment because you're so close to it? Is it more anxiety or more pleasure when you're watching the opening night of any performance that you're involved in that you were at the helm of? Is it anxiety that everything goes right, or is it pleasure that it's going right?
It's pleasure that it's going right and that I think that we did the right amount of work to get where we got to. You know, and I think that there are more with unexplored work, new choreography, where you're not sure what the reaction might be. That makes me nervous. And I do have terrible anxiety. And I stay awake many nights of the week.
Right. Artistic director of the Joffrey Ballet, Ashley Weider, is with me tonight at the big table. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, I want to talk about your career as a dancer. You've already lived a life in dance before you even came to the Joffrey a second time to be the artistic director. We'll talk about your career and what you learned from being a dancer here on The Download. Stay with us. Welcome back to The Download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Coffin. My guest tonight at the big table, artistic director of the Joffrey Ballet here in town, Ashley Weider. The new show Cinderella is on stage until the 22nd of May.
Correct.
You know, I mentioned it right before the break. I mean, you had a career as a dancer. I mean, you didn't come here as a theater manager. You came
no.
from actually being a dancer. Talk about how you got into dance.
It started when I was 6 years old. I think that, you know, my parents were really, they kind of gave us the world. You know, if we had a passion for something, they would find every way to make it happen. And I think that we all loved music. So I played a couple of instruments, played cello and flute and piano. And then my sisters were taking ballet. Mm-hmm. I'm a bit of a Billy Elliot story. I went to see them in our local little village hall.
Where was this?
It was in the middle of England, right. In Leicestershire. And, you know, standing at that in that village hall with this horribly out-of-tune piano, but seeing what they were doing, it just clicked. And I just said, I think I want to dance.
Do you feel like you were a natural dancer? I mean, I always think that about kids. Like, there's one thing to take classes and learn if, you know, this is the steps, and yeah, you're going to figure it out, as opposed to someone who's just graceful and understands what dance is.
I think that I was a very organic mover. So I would say that when I auditioned for the Royal Ballet School at 9 years old.
sure.
And
what all nine-year-olds do. Go ahead.
they give you different rhythm, and you have to go across the floor on your own, and there's a jury of 12 people at the end of the room. It's very like
Billy
Elliot.
Do you remember that?
Oh, I do.
At 9 years old? What were the memories that come out of that?
I was completely fearful, like terrible nerves.
Sure.
You know? 9 years old, this is the kind of the pinnacle of British ballet, getting into the Royal Ballet School. But after my audition, I was accepted. And to be really honest with your listeners is that getting accepted was a really wonderful thing, but the school fees were really high, and my parents didn't have those kind of finances. So actually the county of Leicestershire in England, they helped kids with talent to fulfill their dream. And so they actually made it possible for me to go to the Royal Ballet School.
That's an unbelievable story. I mean, we're not even 10 years old.
Right.
Well, let's talk about what happened next. I mean,
okay.
Obviously, you know, going from 9 years old, studying at the Royal Ballet, really going from, you know, my sisters do this, I could do this too, to, you know, dancing across the floor in rhythm and really learning how to do ballet.
So I will make this really brief. When I was 11 years old, I was a little page boy in The Sleeping Beauty. And that was at Covent Garden. So this is a whole other world. And the principal couple that night was Margot Fonteyn and Rudolf Nureyev. So that was my beginning. And then I remember being in Giselle, and it was when Natalia Makarova had defected from the Soviet Union, and she danced in London. It was her first Giselle. And so over the years, I had this amazing opportunity. When Benjamin Britten wrote the opera Death in Venice, Sir Frederick Ashton choreographed the scene for the children. And so I was part of that at age 13, 14. And we toured. We went to Venice. We went to the Edinburgh Festival, London.
I mean, this was your
and
job.
I was 13 years old.
I was going to say, when is there's no school at this point?
Yeah, there's a lot of school.
There's a lot of school?
So you have to, the thing about being at the Royal Ballet School in my day was that you had to do well in your academic studies in order to keep being, you had to grow in the right way.
Right.
Physically, and you had to grow mentally in the right way as well.
So which
you,
is still
you
the
have
same.
To achieve a lot.
There's anyone who is listening right now has kids who are in ballet. I mean, they have to be good in school too. Yeah. They can't really. It's
or,
same with the Jeffrey School.
You know,
right,
you have to. They always said, what happens if you have a serious injury and you can't dance again? You need an education. So I appreciate that they pushed us hard. So I graduated from the school. I went into the Royal Ballet. I got to work with Sir Frederick Ashton, Kenneth McMillan.
These are the Hall of Famers of ballet. Yeah, right.
And on the advice of Rudolf Nureyev, I left the Royal Ballet and went to London Festival Ballet, where he had created a new Romeo and Juliet and Sleeping Beauty. And so he pushed me and gave me amazing opportunities.
I mean, fast forward couple years, but 1985 that you ended up dancing with the Joffrey Ballet.
I came to America at the invitation of Gerald Arpino.
Mm-hmm.
So Gerald Arpino, I worked with Gerald Arpino in Australia. You have to go around the world to get somewhere. And he invited me to New York. He wanted me to meet Robert Joffrey. I met Robert Joffrey. He offered me a contract, and I joined the Joffrey Ballet. And I stayed with the Joffrey until 1989.
What did you think of American ballet?
It was new for me, but I was excited by it. It was fresh, and it had infinite possibilities. It wasn't that this is the way we do it here. It was like, okay, there are many ways to do it here.
Right.
And there isn't a right or a wrong. It's a personal preference.
What you had come up on and what you had done in London was much more traditional. Coming to the Joffrey, which is still traditional, but there were a lot of other influences, contemporary
Absolutely.
Dance that were happening at the
Absolutely.
Time.
Absolutely. And when I joined the Joffrey, you know, we got to work with Mark Morris and Paul Taylor, Billy Forsythe. Plus we had the John Krenko repertoire, the Ashton repertoire. So it was kind of a company that had everything from Twyla Tharp
right.
to Ashton and everything in between.
One of the things I would think of, ballet is almost like a national pastime in London. It feels like it's a very supported art form. Dance is a big
Absolutely.
Deal there. And it is in New York City, but as you get outside of New York City, it becomes less of the pastime of the America. Did you notice that when you came over, that it wasn't sort of like, I'm dancing, everybody stop and come over and watch me?
I just noticed that it is different, you're right. I mean, in the UK, you can love soccer and you can love going to the ballet. Or, you know, you can play rugby and go to the opera. And I don't think there's a distinction between, well, I shouldn't like that because I do this. And I think that
there's more
sometimes
that
in America, it's just a little bit more obvious, like you love football or you love baseball. Well, you don't have time to go to the theater.
I noticed that, I mean, somewhere in, I think it was, I'm sorry for my dates messed up. It might have been late 90s or early 2000s, you retired from dance.
I did. In 97, I had a serious injury and I retired.
Talk about that. I mean, for you as a dancer in your whole life, from the age of 6, being able to watch your sisters and be able to make a living off of dance and to be in a position where an injury stopped you from being able to dance and you had to retire. What was the emotion that went into that?
It was intense. I was still dancing well. I had had a really full career, but I was still in my 30s. And to cut a really long story short again, I was working on a new piece of work. It had some really dangerous lifts in it. And I ended up rupturing every disc in my neck.
Ugh.
And so I had a lot of paralysis in my upper body. And they did a lot of surgery on my spine. And I pretty much knew after I had gone through months and months of having so many spinal blocks and MRIs and CAT scans that the doctor said, you know, this is it. You're done. And I have to say that I give all my thanks and credit to Helgi Thomasson. He is the director of San Francisco Ballet, which is where I was at the time. Mm-hmm. And just was there for me every step of the way. And he said, you know, whatever happens, there is a place for you here. And so even with my halo brace on, I went back to the studio and I started coaching some of the principal dancers in Swan Lake.
Wow.
And it was really one of the best motivations for stop, feel sorry for yourself, get up and carry on with your life. And so I'm really grateful for that.
Well, let's take a break for the news. We'll come back and I want to talk about Joffrey, the Joffrey in Chicago that you joined, the The earlier version was in New York, and now you're here in Chicago. We're talking with artistic director Ashley Weider. He's the artistic director at the Joffrey Ballet, which Cinderella's on stage right now through the 22nd. We'll continue our conversation right after the news. Stay with us. Welcome back to The Download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman. My guest at the big table tonight is artistic director of the Joffrey Ballet, Ashley Weider. Ashley was named the Chicagoan of the Year back in 2013. He's got a lot of distinctions. I mean, from the University of Chicago gave you a medal for excellence in creativity. So many other things that you've been able to get here after taking over as artistic director. Right now, Cinderella's on stage at the Joffrey through May 22nd. Let's talk about making that transition. After you weren't able to dance anymore, you did make a transition, thanks to the San Francisco Ballet, into more of an administrative role.
I became a ballet master, so a ballet master and teacher and coach for the company. And then I became Helgi Thomason's assistant to the director.
And what did you learn, I mean, in that experience? Because it's different to be an artistic director than to be a dancer.
It is, very. I mean, first of all, you've got to really want to take care of everyone. So you're working with them every day in the studio, but also you're taking on other duties like scheduling, like development, marketing, programming. What is the trajectory for each individual dancer? Where do you see them going? How do you nurture them to get there?
They weren't teaching that at the Royal Ballet, I'm guessing.
They weren't. And all I was focused, you know, the thing with a dancer or any athlete is that you focus on yourself.
Right.
But when that comes to an end and you want to stay in the field, it is a total different mindset. And I think that, you know, I always say, as a director, I'm getting older every year, but not necessarily the dancers. They keep coming in at 17, 18, 19 years old, and with it come a lot of issues, and you have to want to be there for them. You have to have an open door. You have to be a really good listener, and you have to just kind of nurture people.
Is that sort of second nature for you? Are you a nurturing person? Like, is that something you have to learn as an artistic director?
I mean, I'll answer for the company. I think that they would think that I was a very nurturing person, and I take it that I really care about people, and I want to be there for them and help support them. I mean, one thing that I know that I said a few years ago was that to be a really good director, you actually have to be a really good psychiatrist.
That's great.
You have to be everything.
Yeah, right.
You have to be father, mother, boss, teacher, coach, mentor.
When you took over the Joffrey, talk about what you wanted to do. This was back in 2007, and what you've accomplished. And we'll get to what you see. I mean, obviously, what we talked about a couple weeks ago about the Nutcracker, that's sort of reimagining that classic. And we talked about, you know, it'd be pretty easy to sit on your hands and continue to do the same Nutcracker over and over and over with audiences in Chicago. I mean, you can't get a ticket. It's tradition. But in 2007, when you came to the Joffrey Ballet and you came back to this company, was your thought to say, okay, you know what, I'm going to shake things up?
My thought was that my years in the Joffrey as a dancer under Robert Joffrey were fantastic. I mean, Robert Joffrey died in 88, and he was way too young to have left us. But he built a great company, and I think that the one thing that I learned from Robert Joffrey and Gerald Arpino was that if dance isn't relative, it's not going to be around. And how do we today manage to look at the not-for-profit world, balance our budget, raise the money we need to raise to do what we want to do, and also to keep engaging our audience at every level, you know, young, old, in between, and why they want to come and see what dance is about today. So I think that you honor our heritage, and there are masterpieces from, you know, the 19th, 20th century, but it should never stop you from moving forward. And I think that since I've taken over the company as dancers, I think, are really, really talented and really strong. And I think technically, you know, we push them hard. Mm-hmm. They know what my expectation is. And it's not in an intimidating way. It's just that this is the way it is. If we want to be a world-class company, then what does that look like?
The Joffrey came to Chicago in the 90s and mid-90s.
Yeah.
Talk about your relationship with Chicago audiences, because you've won awards for civic engagement, about reaching out, outreach, and being able to get the Joffrey to be an organic part of the city of Chicago. How do you do that? How do you do that, especially to a blue-collar town that not necessarily has grown up with the ballet?
I think that You know, Chicago is a great theater city. And I really value the cultural arts in Chicago. I always have done. And I think having performed here since 1984, I think that how we collaborate across our disciplines, whether it's with, you know, involvement with Chicago Shakespeare Theater or Steppenwolf or Writers Theater, the Lyric Opera, the CSO, there are so many great organizations here. And I think to be a player, to be a team player, it's a team that's going to make it happen. And I think that when the Joffrey moved to Chicago, it was really struggling in New York. You know, New York had three major companies, New York City Ballet and American Ballet Theater, and the Joffrey. And I think that funding for the arts was changing drastically. So Chicago, the way I look at it is that Chicago was the lifesaver of the Joffrey. I think they embraced the Joffrey. And I think that we have a responsibility to show to them why they saved us. And so I think it's really important that we, you know, represent Chicago. We are the premier ballet company here. Mm-hmm. And we have a responsibility to the people of Chicago. And we need to engage with our audience.
It's interesting because ballet, I mean, you've mentioned some of the classics, Sleeping Beauty, Cinderella, which is on stage right now. They're universal in the way that they're the stories of our youth. Everybody knows those classics in some form or another, whether it be musical theater or television or ballet. But ballet, of all the cultural arts, seems to be the toughest to enter for someone who doesn't understand it. I always think, like, for myself, I don't think I've ever been to a ballet. I mean, maybe I've seen it on TV. Maybe I've seen it in smaller theaters. I've definitely seen contemporary dance. But traditional ballet and the ballet companies you're talking about, there's always been a little bit of a hurdle for me to get over.
Yeah,
how do you deal with that for Chicagoans? Chicagoans might be listening right now on WGN Radio, like, ballet, that I know from a get-go, that's not for me. Even though it could be.
Okay, so I think what's really interesting here is that, you know, this year we are presenting Cinderella Now, which is by Prokofiev, and then later in the year we do Romeo and Juliet. And I think that even though Cinderella is of a timepiece, it doesn't look like old-fashioned ballet. And I think that we can use our language, ballet, to further the art form of dance. And so I would say, we have reimagined many of the classic story ballets. Mm-hmm. 2 years ago, we did Swan Lake, and it was not your traditional Swan Lake. It was a different idea, and it was a blockbuster for the Joffrey. And when I looked around the audience, there were so many young people on a date night, and I thought, well, okay, so they're here because they've heard about it, and they really enjoyed it. So we are not, you know, your mother or grandmother's ballet company. We want to be a company that really has a purpose and a relevance for all ages. And I know, you know, we have people that want the traditional ballet. So we're trying to serve many different tastes here. And I think that the one thing that I feel about the audience, especially our subscribers, is that they have trusted me. And so I take that responsibility very much to heart. And I know that I can't please everyone. And when I don't please someone, I hear about it. But I would sooner have that dialogue than to just say, it doesn't matter.
Well,
it
that's does important. But that's part of it, too, is trying to get new people into the theater. Working with 17, 18, 19-year-old dancers, the beginnings of their professional careers, they're dancing at the Joffrey Ballet. And you talked about rehearsal, you know, it's a human art form. There's technical things that may go right, but in the dance part, you know, maybe they're not hitting the right spot. Is it tough for you to not go, time out? You know what? Let me show you how Ashley Weider used to do it. I mean, obviously you had your injury and whatever, but do you feel like, is it hard for you to not jump in and be like, you're not doing it right. This is what I want.
We really have open dialogue. And so people, and in general, people know when they haven't done well. And so I don't sugarcoat it. You know, a problem's a problem.
Right.
And I think sometimes they're mortified. And what it's about then is like building their confidence and saying, look, you know, obviously we don't want this to happen again. So let's get in the studio and let's rehearse and fix it and work on it and go back out there and do a better show.
So you don't have a leotard underneath your clothes
case. And I'm a really big believer in, well, I didn't do it like that. I did it like this. I think that everyone has to find their way of doing it within the boundaries of the work that they've been given to dance.
Ashley Weider is the artistic director at the Joffrey Ballet, which has Cinderella on stage until the 22nd of May. Ashley, thanks for coming back. Thanks for being my guest at the big table.
It's a pleasure, Justin. Thank you.